Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castanini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Bite. Thanksgiving is almost here, and I know for many of you, this holiday can bring up a lot of anxiety. With the spotlight on food, family, and social gatherings, it's totally normal to feel a bit overwhelmed and stressed. And if you're managing an eating disorder or struggling with body image issues, Thanksgiving can be an extremely triggering, and it may feel especially challenging. So today, I want to talk about some strategies to help you navigate the holiday. And for those of you listening who are here to support a loved one, thanks for being here, because I'm also going to be sharing some helpful insights and tips for loved ones on how to provide meaningful support. First of all, I want to start off by acknowledging some common Thanksgiving stressors. Thanksgiving can be stressful for so many reasons. If nothing else, it's a holiday centered around food. Maybe you're stressed about not having your normal safe foods. Maybe you have no idea what will be served or what will be in the food. Or maybe you are very much looking forward to the food, which is causing you a lot of anxiety. Some people are worried that they'll end up binging or eating too much and maybe even wanting to go purge. Some people are really not comfortable eating in front of other people, and thinking about this has been extremely anxiety-provoking, sometimes to the point that they've even thought about not going. Other people have told me, hey, what if people start making comments about what's on my plate? Or what if they see how much or how little I'm eating, or make comments about that, or criticize what I'm eating? Lots of people really think hard and long about this, even days before the event. And then it's not even about what's on their plate, but people are worried about what kind of conversations are going to be had. You know, I get a lot of questions right now about, like, what if people at Thanksgiving make comments about things like dieting? What if they start talking about their new diet or how much weight they've just lost? Or what if they just even start talking about things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ate so much. I'm going to go need a diet after all this. Or, oh my gosh, I must have gained 10 pounds tonight. I'm going to go back to the gym tomorrow. Or just common things like that. Like, oh gosh, if I keep eating like this, you know, I'm going to gain so much weight. These are common things that people say just off the cuff that they don't realize are really triggering for people who are really struggling with eating disorders or body image issues. And I know a lot of people are stressed because they know that those things are really triggering for them. If someone actually talks about their new diet or how much weight they've recently lost, or worse yet, drag you into the conversation and suggest maybe you try this new diet with them, or say something like, well, you don't need to lose anything. What do you do to keep the weight off? Or, oh, you're looking too thin. You know, are you starving yourself? You could, you know, gain a few pounds. You better eat up today. Any comments like that, they can be extremely triggering, and people, they aren't sensitive to these things. They have no idea. But for you, these things, they can be completely overwhelming. And let's bring in another factor here. For a lot of people, there's the stress of dealing with family dynamics. You know, not every family loves each other and gets along so great. You know, for many people, they have family members who are known to make inappropriate or triggering comments. And that's stressful. Or maybe you have a particularly complicated relationship with some family members and you're really anxious about seeing them. You know, sometimes family members are difficult to be around and there's a lot of concern about there being arguments or heated discussions about topics that have historically led to, you know, lots of problems. Or maybe there's just people who, when you see them, it brings back painful or traumatic memories that are painful. You know, painful reminders that, you know, that you just don't want to deal with. Or maybe there's people you just know, they're notorious for talking about diet, weight loss, fitness topics, and you know that they're not going to stop talking about it. And related to this, a lot of people, they have this lingering worry, you know, that they haven't seen some family members in a long time, and they're worried somebody's going to make a comment about their appearance or weight. You know, like I said, especially if it's been a while since they've last seen them. And if you're dealing with body image issues, this can be a real big concern or anxiety. And maybe you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And, you know, the date's here and I don't know, I'm kind of getting panicky going. You know, I just want you to know you're not alone and there's nothing wrong with you for having these anxieties or thoughts. I hear this all of the time. Many people are anxious before going to an event, especially a holiday. You know, one of the main concerns is that someone is going to make a comment about their appearance, like I said, or their weight change, or that they're going to be judged for how they look, and not in a good way. Look, I don't know why it's so common for people to feel like it's okay to say something about another person's weight when they see them, but the truth is, it is. And I wish it wasn't, but I want to at least acknowledge that this is a normal fear, and it's probably going to happen and people might say even to you, oh gosh, you look so great. Have you lost weight? Or even have the audacity to say something like, well, you've been enjoying some good food. It seems gained a few pounds since I last saw you. I mean, these are awful comments. Or you may even hear someone make a comment out of earshot of someone else about their weight changes that triggers you. You know, I really wish I could do something to make it so people stop making comments like this to other people, about other people. I don't know what to do about it, but I want to talk about it and acknowledge that any fears or anxieties you may have about this are completely normal. You know, after I finish talking about some of these triggers and fears, I'm going to discuss some ways to manage some of these situations so you can get through them better. Another thing people really stress a lot about is what to wear. Getting dressed to go out to the grocery store on a normal day can sometimes be stressful. And, you know, for many people, I hear it takes like a long time, sometimes even hours for someone who's struggling with an eating disorder or body image. So yes, thinking about what to wear to Thanksgiving, gosh, that can be really stressful, especially if you're going to be around people that you want to impress. You know, maybe it's some new partner's family that you're meeting for the first time, or, you know, you're going to go eat out at a nice restaurant. The bottom line is that you really just want to wear something that you feel fits you well and that you feel comfortable in, emotionally and physically. You know, try not to wear something that you're constantly body checking yourself in. You know, if for instance, you know that you rarely, if ever, wear jeans or pants with buttons and a zipper because when you wear them, you feel uncomfortable, you don't want to be distracted by the unusual sensation of the material on your skin and have your thoughts constantly on how you look in them, because then you're not going to be present and you're not going to do anything but just constantly feel uncomfortable. Those aren't the best things to wear. Those are just some things to think about. And so, you know, I brought up some triggers and some stressors, so let's talk about creating a game plan if you become triggered or you're uncomfortable. Look, first, you have every right to leave a situation. You can excuse yourself from any situation or conversation at any time. So if the discussion at the table continues on and on about something triggering, say dieting, get up and take a break. I mean, come on, it's normal for people to have to use the bathroom, or say get an unexpected call that you need to take in the middle, you know, of the conversation and go to the other room real quick. Or if you feel up to it, you know, you can set boundaries or redirect the conversation yourself. You could say something like, hey, I'm enjoying what I have on my plate. Thanks. You know, if people make comments about what you're eating, or, hey, I'd love to keep the focus on enjoying each other's company instead of, you know, talking about dieting. But you might have just heard what I said and be thinking to yourself that there's no way you could get up during a meal because you think that would be rude, or you definitely couldn't see yourself speaking up and saying anything. And I get it. That would be hard for a lot of people to do. But I wanted to mention it as an option just in case you hadn't thought about it. But you can also have someone else help you with setting boundaries or making situations better for you. I strongly encourage you to identify what I call a quote-unquote safe person for the day. Now, this is someone who you trust, someone who knows what you're struggling with and who understands your needs and can provide support if things get overwhelming. Now, this could be someone physically who's there with you or someone who's not and you can text for quick check-ins. Really, your safe person is there to help you navigate any challenging moments and provide you reassurance. So, for instance, they can be the one to speak up and change the triggering topic. Or, you know, if they got, maybe they see you cornered by a particularly difficult family member, they can come over and quote-unquote save you by saying you're needed in the kitchen to help with something real quick. Or, you know, you can, like I said, oh, I got a text. I got to go take this real quick. Go into the other room and just have a moment with your safe person who's not there and just get some reassurance and take a breather and then come back to the situation. Or you can even have a signal with the person that's there and let them know you need to go somewhere and vent or just get away from everyone for a few minutes. Now, this is something that I actually personally used during the time that I was really struggling with my eating disorder. I had a friend who was my safe person, and it was fantastic because I have to say it was great that I could just call her and be like, hey, I'm having a minute. Oh, I really need to just vent. And it just did. It just set everything in it. It spun everything in a different direction, and my mindset shifted, and then I was able to go back and refocus and be in a better mood. So I personally have done that, so that's why I suggest it. You can also do something which is setting boundaries in advance. So, you know, consider reaching out to family members, especially if you know that they tend to bring up diet or talking about appearance. So with this, I want you to think about who you can trust in your family to talk about this. Because, you know what, sometimes even the most well-meaning people can say very triggering things when you divulge to them that you're struggling with an eating disorder. And this is the very last thing you need. You don't need someone to dismiss your feelings or say something like, oh, but you don't look like you have an eating disorder. Or it's fine, don't worry about anything. I'm sure no one's going to say or do anything to hurt your feelings. You know, I wish, again, I could say that you could just trust that everyone would have a response that's open and understanding. But I want to be realistic here and not suggest this is an option to only have it cause more strife for you. I don't want it backfiring, which is why I again stress to only reach out to someone you feel you can trust with this information. You can, you know, gently request that they avoid topics, you know, that's going to trigger you, things that are going to make your holiday more comfortable for you. Just, you know what, say something simple like, I'd really appreciate it if we could keep today focused on enjoying each other's company and avoid talking about food or weight. Yeah, setting these boundaries, it's not about creating conflict. It's about protecting you and your feelings and creating peace for you. So let's talk about other things that might be helpful for you. So I want you to consider creating a flexible meal plan for the day. This is not about rigid control, but rather having a guideline that feels manageable to you. So what I want you to think about is giving yourself permission to not be so rigid with your food. That again might be hard, but you know what, when you're going to another person's house, you're not going to know all that's going to be at the table. And I know sometimes people, when they go out to eat, they feel like they need to go look at the entire menu before they feel comfortable going out. And so really just check in with yourself, and try to like ask yourself, how am I feeling going into this meal? You know, you might actually help to connect with a therapist or support group ahead of time to talk through how you're feeling. This can help you get a sense of structure and stability around this. And also, it could help if you don't know what mindful eating is. Perhaps a therapist can help you approach Thanksgiving meal, learning mindful eating practices, if it feels right for you. What you basically want to do is, it helps you focus on the sensory experience, how food tastes, its textures and aromas, without judging yourself or your choices. And mindful eating can allow you to savor the meal without the added pressure. And, another thing to think about is, what if you brought a safe dish for yourself? If it helps, bring a familiar dish that feels really comfortable for you to eat. Having something safe on the table, it can probably help reduce anxiety about unfamiliar foods. At least you know there's one thing there that you feel safe eating. Again, if you start feeling anxious at any given point in time, you might need to take a break and do something to ground yourself. You know, a great breathing exercise I want to give you right now. Most of you might know what box breathing is, but if you don't, what you do is you inhale for a count of four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold your breath for 4. Exhale for 4. And hold for 4. This can be really calming. So I want to just practice, if you want to close your eyes and try it right now real quick, I'll just do it for you right now. So inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold for 1, 2, 3, 4. And then inhale and do it all over again until you feel calm. That can be really helpful. Other ways to ground yourself: you can press your feet into the floor or focus on the texture of something you're holding. It just can help ground you and help you stay present. And then you might just want to create an escape plan. Like I said, during the meal, you can go to the bathroom, you can do that, but it's also okay. If you're sitting around all day at someone's house for hours and hours, it's okay to take breaks during the day. Go outside for fresh air, take a quick walk, find a quiet space to decompress. Just give yourself permission to step away whenever you need it. It's a real essential act for self-care. And this is really important too if you're like traveling away from home and you're not familiar with your surroundings. It's hard to be away from home. It's hard to be away from your routine. So give yourself that grace. Go and take some breaks. And let's not forget what Thanksgiving's all about. It's about gratitude. If you could shift the focus a little bit to what you're grateful for that has nothing to do with food, this might be great for you. Maybe you could think about what is a favorite tradition that you're grateful for. Or maybe just focus on the beautiful view that's outside, or focus on, the fact that you have a break from work. I know that might sound silly, but if you could just shift your focus from all the things that are overwhelming you or making you anxious to other things, that might help shift, your anxieties. And after Thanksgiving, it could help to do some reflection and recovery debriefing with some support. So after Thanksgiving, it's helpful to take some time to debrief with, again, a therapist, a friend, or support group. Really talking through what happened, what was your experience? It can help you reflect on what went well and what you might want to change for the next time, because there's another holiday coming up. There's always going to be an event or holidays. So learning from what happened, what went well, what felt good, those are all great things to just keep in your toolbox. And then also just, let go of judgments of yourself. If things didn't go perfectly, hey, that's okay. You're human. Recovery is it's a journey. It's not a destination. I want you to be kind to yourself. And remember that every experience brings opportunities for learning and growth about yourself. And then when you get home, done with the holiday, go back to your routine. When the holiday's over, ease back into your usual routines and self-care practices. And first and foremost, be patient with yourself. That's so key. Now I want to flip for a little bit. I'm going to talk about you loved ones out there who are listening. I want to give you some tips for supporting someone who has an eating disorder, because I think that's important. And again, I'm really appreciative of anyone who's listening who's a loved one. You might have picked up on some things I was talking about, but it's really important to avoid commenting on appearance, weight, or eating disorder or eating choices. For someone who has an eating disorder, those are really triggering things. You may even think like making a positive comment about someone's appearance is a good thing, but it can be really triggering. So focus on topics unrelated to appearance, like shared memories or things you appreciate about each other. Like I said, don't comment on what other people are eating or how much they're eating, or don't ask them, hey, you know, what's on your plate there? It's so hard for someone with an eating disorder when someone looks at their plate. Just don't do it. Don't draw attention to what they're eating. Nobody likes that at all. And another thing, don't talk about how many calories are in something. Like, it's just don't talk about diets or weight loss, or make even what you think are funny jokes about how you all need to go burn off all of this tomorrow at the gym. Just don't do it. And you know what? Thanksgiving doesn't only have to be about the food. Encourage activities beyond the food, like play some games, share stories, or do some gratitude traditions. This helps everyone feel more comfortable. And then if somebody does come up to you and share that they need some boundaries set, just please respect them. If your loved one has requested boundaries around food or body talk, please honor them. Show respect for their needs, because that really fosters trust, and it does, it just feels good. And one thing else you can do is, if you know someone struggling with this, just provide gentle check-ins. Don't overdo it. Just check in periodically, like, hey, how you doing? It's just a reminder that you're there, and that support can really just mean a lot. Okay, and I want to bring something else up. I talked a lot about Thanksgiving in terms of people being around each other and the dynamics between people. But I also want to say that there's going to be situations and people listening where they're going to be spending the holiday without other people. And I want to acknowledge that I know that for many people, the holidays are triggering for other reasons. Reasons such as how they will or won't be spending the holidays. And if you know someone listening who is going to be spending the holiday alone, or maybe that's you, or you're going to be spending the holiday not how you wanted or expected to, then this is my message to you. It's that I hope you can find a way to get support or spend some part of the day engaged in some self-care activity that you do enjoy. Because let's face it, holidays are not always joyous occasions for everyone. If this is, say, the first one after the loss of someone or the loss of a relationship, this can be an extremely difficult time. And if you are also struggling with an eating disorder and are also feeling lonely, stressed, anxious, or depressed due to any of the situations I just mentioned or something similar, I encourage you to reach out to someone you trust for support, or, you know, to one of the resources I'm going to list in my show notes. These resources are not just for anyone who feels they need the extra support and help for the things I just mentioned. They can be for anyone. So please check out the show notes. Look, Thanksgiving, it can be challenging, but you have the right to create an experience that feels safe and respectful of your needs. And for loved ones, again, thank you for listening, for trying to support and understand. Your presence can truly make a big difference. And I just want to say, I'm going to wrap up here, but to everyone, I wish you a Thanksgiving filled with peace, gratitude, and connection. As always, thank you for tuning into this podcast. Without you, I wouldn't even have it. And so my message is just, I have a lot of gratitude for all of you listeners. So take care, and I will see you next week. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network, and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation. Thank you.